but it's down to Pallone Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the Metro.
Moving pitchers on the backfield is coming on. Moving pitchers on the far outside. Reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown open mare pace. It is moving pitchers.
The great gladiator, gris, l'a fait encore une fois. Une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Hey everybody, Norm Borg from the home office at Rideau Carlton Raceway on the eve of the pace, the Meadowlands pace. Well said, seems to have the inside track. Driver Ron Pierce thinks there's nobody that can beat this guy. We'll check it all out with none other than Bob Hollywood Hayden when we come back on this edition of Trot Radio.
August 20th through the 23rd, Sarnia will come alive with the first ever edition of Adrenaline, an event that will combine world-class horse racing and entertainment. Take in special limited seating events like Ultimate Band Challenge, Yuck Yucks on Tour, and the finals of the FBA Advanced Bartenders Competition, and play the Ponies Tournament. Adrenaline is all about food and drink as we feature over 15 food vendors plus beer and spirit tents. Adrenaline's so much more than racing. Purchase tickets for limited seating events online before they sell out. Go to AdrenalineFest.ca.
Welcome back to Trot Radio. It is the eve of the Meadowlands Pace. It's, of course, needless to say, one of the big events on the harness racing calendar. We've got a field of 10 going to the post at Meadowlands Raceway, and who best to talk to about the pace than the man himself, the professor of harness racing analysts, and a gentleman with whom I've had the pleasure of working with in the past, Bob Hollywood Hayden on the other end of my line. Welcome to Trot Radio, Holly.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I have plenty on the pace. You just tell me what you want.
All right. Well, let's go through this field of 10 because, I mean, we have to, you know, when you're looking at this field and assessing the chances, you know, you look beyond Well Said. And let's just assume Well Said is, of course, the prohibitive favorite. Is there anything that could be a knock on this guy?
No, there's no knock, mainly because we basically haven't seen his A game yet and mostly because he hasn't needed it. When he won the North America Cup by 3 1/4 lengths, Pierce was basically naming his margin. You know, you saw the Olympics in 2008 with Isaiah Bolt. This is an Olympic sprinter right here. And what he's doing is he's a much, much better horse from off the pace. And that's what he has to do. You've seen him race in some close quarters. He was actually fourth in a Burlington. And I remember talking to Ron Pierce right after the race. I said, Ron Pierce, you know, they have something in the NBA called the clear path rule. Mm-hmm. Which means you got to stay out in the middle of the track and get him away from everybody. This horse is too talented to be in tight, to have a horse alongside, to be near the pylons, anything like that. And since then, he's run the table 3 in a row. We haven't seen his best. Pierce is ultra-confident. Steve Elliott, by the way, will have his fourth million-dollar win in 4 years if he wins this race with Well Said. That'll be the most of anybody in the last 4 years. Teague has 3 and Burgess has 2. I was just doing a little bit of a note. Since Brett Pelling retired, there's been $11 million races, and now 9 of those million-dollar races will have gone to 3 different trainers, Elliott, Teague, and Burgess. So the dominance is spread out. I'm going to be considered great.
Could Art Colony be the one to be the nemesis of Well Said over the long haul?
Yeah, he can, because Art's Place himself was a great 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old, undefeated at 4. This is his next-to-last crop. Campbell helps. This horse has been second to the Well Said in both the Breeders' Crown and the North America Cup, and then throw in last week here in the elimination where he came 54-1 back half there, pretty serious stuff, and was second to Well Said. So, you know, it might be one of those Ali Dar Affirm type situations by the time it's all over. But for right now, I think a lot of guys are positioning themselves, seeing what are we going to do in the first turn, because everybody pretty much knows Well Said's not going out of the gate. So we might have a little bit of a scramble into the first 3/8 of a mile, and Art Colony is definitely one of the horses who's going early.
Drawing the 3-hole is Hypnotic Blue Chip. Tim Tietrich drives. This one beat Chase and Race in the... I think it was the eliminations for the pace, did he not?
Yeah, and going into the eliminations last week, there were 17 horses. 11 of those 17 before a scratch had been driven by Tim Tietrich. So, you know, when he makes a decision on a horse, it means something in that situation. He was named on 4, but Hypnotic Blue Chip is one of those horses who benefits from movement. The bigger the purse, I think the better he'll get, because I think you're guaranteed to have action out there in the race.
School Kids. This one impressed me with its 151 and 4 mile at Tyendega, and that's a 5/8 mile track.
Yeah, now this is a horse who we definitely have not seen his best yet. You know, he had 14 starts last year, 13 for 14 on the board, made his money at two. A lot of times you'll sacrifice, you know, to make your money as a two-year-old, and if he doesn't come back at three, so be it. I Am a Fool, his sire, remembered, was a two-year-old of the year. Pelling once called him the greatest horse he ever trained, I Am a Fool, but he didn't come back at three. Now, School Kids, of course, the school is out on him. Is he going to be a top three-year-old? He's only got 23,000 and six starts with, you know, four times in a row off the board. So I think he is. I think he's going to turn the corner and be a racehorse before this year's out. I think you're going to hear a lot from him. I expect him to wind up with like a $500,000 a year. I really do. I think he's going to be one of those horses you're going to hear from. And I don't know if he'll do anything more than fourth or fifth in the Meadowlands Pace, but definitely down the road, he could turn out to be a kind of like a Shark Jester type deal where he came out late in this 2006 and wound up winning the Breeders' Crown later on.
Look at Vintage Master. This one is, I think, fits the same bill as School Kids in that, you know, there's a lot of talent there that hasn't been fully tapped. I don't think Jimmy Tactor making the foray into the pacing game with this one, but, you know, in the NA Cup, in the eliminations, you know, he made that early break, finished sixth only by two lengths, coming home in 26-3, and that was 2 seconds faster than the winner of that elimination, Mr. Wiggles, and that was with a track that was off by a second.
Yeah, and I remember looking at the replay, I should say live, and the replay of that race, and I didn't know that was him coming, because I thought he was officially out of the race. And I said, wow, this is really something. And, you know, there's a saying in baseball, you got to be a good pitcher to lose 20 games. This guy lost his first 20 races. And then he broke his maiden, and then last week qualified for the final. So it's an amazing story to think that a horse could have a 20-race losing streak and all of a sudden get it together for the Meadowlands Pace, especially with Jimmy Tactor making his debut in the Meadowlands Pace. Here's a guy who should have been in the Hall of Fame 5 years ago, and he's coming into this race, his first ever pace.
If I Can Dream, the sixth horse, the Killer Bee, George Brennan for Tracy Brainard and Bulletproof Enterprises, gave a pretty good account of itself in the Olims.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit exposed, though, in the North America Cup. He left, yielded, and basically the last quarter mile was simply outclassed. Sometimes horses are built for smaller and different sized tracks. This might be a case of that, If I Can Dream.
What about Arctic Warrior?
Arctic Warrior is, this is really an odd scenario here because Sam Beagle is so new to the big races. The last time he was in a big race and hit the board was 1981.
Whoa.
In the New Jersey Classic. He was second with Stonegate Scout.
Paradise, another Steve Elliott trainee, more or less a bit of luck, really, to get into the final. What's your take on this one?
Well, let's see. Post 10 has won the pace more often than Post 1. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. However, he's a $2,000 sale. Yeah, that's right, $2,000 purchase. So the last time we had a 100-to-1 shot was 1990 in the pace. We had two of them. So you have to go back 179 horses ago in the Meadowlands pace. Last time someone went off 100-to-1, we had two in the same race. One of them actually finished fourth. Paradise has to be 250-to-1. Nobody can bet this.
You got to figure. Chasin' Racin', this one, I think, you know, has a fair bit of talent. Didn't do too badly in the NA Cup.
Chasin' Racin's interesting because Elmer Fannin has got the Midas touch. Started with Cadelia last year in the Breeders' Crown. Remember the $150 horse? That was Elmer. This year, all of a sudden, we come out for the Hemp. Johnny Z dominates. That was Elmer. Then we go to the Hoosier Cup. He's 1-2 with Mr. Wiggles and Chasin' Racin'. Both of them he had. And now he's in the pace after getting fourth with Mr. Wiggles in the North America Cup.
And to round out the field of 10, we've only got a couple of minutes here. Ideal Danny, the Irv Miller outfit. This horse may have some good late pace, but he's going to have to really run into it.
Yeah, Ideal Danny is one of those that has to get lucky to get money, I would think. It reminds me a little bit of, I was talking to Irv Miller about Shark Jester, you know, who he got fifth place money in the pace in 2006 and later on won the Breeders' Crown. Some horses, you know, just aren't up to it yet. Some horses are filling out the field. Some horses are second, third tier type players. This is a homebred. Seems to be along those lines. Western Ideal has landed two in here. By the way, Western Hanover is all over this race. He's got five horses, two sons, three grandsons. And Western Hanover won this race with the Panderosa 10 years ago, and he was a leading sire last year.
Bob Hayden, it's always a pleasure having you on and working with you. Of course, we were working on our Des Smith pace a couple of years ago. Hope to have you back up for that one sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. You know Canada. I'm a Canadian at heart. You know
yeah.
That.
Yeah, you got the Canada friendly thing going. That's all right.
Better believe it.
All right, Bob Hayden, thank you. Always a pleasure and always educational for me, certainly, and our listeners.
Okay, great. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
You got it.
Bye-bye. And that'll do it for this edition of Trot Radio. Just when you think you know a thing or two about this business, you talk to Bob Hayden and you tell yourself, shut up, rookie. That'll wrap it up for this edition. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications. Bye-bye.